Hallelujah. At the center of it all, it's you that I see. It's you that I see. At the center of it all, it's you that I see. Oh, it's you that I see. Yes, Lord. Center of it all, it's you that I see, it's you that I see. Yes, Lord, there is power. Oh, there is power in your name. Miracles happen in your name. As we lift our voice in praise, it's you that I see. Sing with me to the top, at the center.
At the center of it all, it's you that I see. It's you that I see.
Yes, Lord, at the center.
At the center of it all, it's you that I see. It's you that I see.
Hallelujah, sing that again. We sing at the center, Lord.
At the center of it all. It's you that I see. It's you that I see.
One more time we sing. At the center, Lord.
At the center of it all. It's you that I see.
Hallelujah.
It's you that I see.
Oh, for there is power.
There is power in your name. Miracles happen in your name.
Praise your name. Hallelujah. We praise your name. See it again. At the center of it all.
At the center of it all, it's you that I see. It's you that I see.
Yes, Lord, you are the center.
At the center of it all, it's you that I see. It's you that I see.
See it again. Oh, you are, Lord, you are.
At the center of it all, it's you that I see. It's you that I see.
One more time we sing at the center.
At the center of it all, it's you that I see.
Hallelujah.
It's you that I see. There is power in your name. Miracles happen in your name. As you lift your voice in praise, it's you that I see. It's you that I see.
Oh, for there is power.
There is power in your name.
Voice in praise.
It's you that I see. It's you that I see.
stronger, stronger than the strongest. You are higher, higher than the highest. You are greater, greater than the greatest, Lord. You are bigger, bigger than the biggest. You are stronger, stronger than the strongest. You are higher, higher than the highest. Oh, you are greater, greater than the greatest, Lord.
You are bigger, bigger than the biggest. You are stronger, stronger than the strongest. You are higher, higher than the highest. You are greater, greater than the greatest.
Oh, you are Lord.
You are bigger, bigger than the biggest. You are stronger, stronger than the strongest. You are higher, higher than the highest.
You are bigger, you are bigger, Lord.
You are bigger, bigger than the biggest. You are stronger, stronger than the strongest. You are higher, higher than the highest.
More time we sing. Oh, you are bigger, Lord.
You are bigger, bigger than the biggest. You are stronger, stronger than the strongest. You are higher.
Here we go. Yes.
You are bigger.
Oh, we sing Jesus. Oh, at the center of it all, it's you that I see. It's you that I see. Yes, Lord. At the center of it all, it's you that I see. It's you that I see.
Thank you, Lord. It is you that we see. And as we behold you, we have been transformed. We've been changed into the same image of your glory. Lord Jesus, when you came to die on the cross, it was not for your salvation that you came. You came for our salvation. You live your life so that we can live like you. Lord, we cry out to you today, recognizing that without you we can do nothing. So, Lord, we ask tonight that our eyes be open to behold you, that you reveal yourself to us, so, Lord, that we can be transformed into the fullness of who you are, to live a life that testifies of the goodness of our Father. You came to reveal the Father to us. May we experience the fullness the Father who's loved us with an everlasting love. Lord, speak to us tonight. Help us become everything we ought to be. For your glory and honor, and for our benefit, now and always, in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Welcome, everyone, to this very special feast, the second day of the Feast of Tabernacles. Yesterday we talked about a lot of things and talked not only in terms of what is, but we talked about the prophetic timeline. Hallelujah. We're living in interesting days. I've been a believer and a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ for almost 50 years. This next July will be 50 years. And in the natural, we'll say that we are closer now to the time of the return of the Lord, at least 50 years. But there's a sense deep within me that we are right now, starting from this 5784 Rosh Hashanah, for the next 7 years, at the most critical time of our walk. Even this last night, or would you say early morning, the Lord began to show to me how stressful it's going to be. If you think that you are being monitored now, the level of monitoring is going to be at a hyper level, especially if you're a believer. Every single thing is about to be monitored. And you will not only be prosecuted and persecuted for what you did, but for what came into your own phone. But we have a word from the Lord that He is our keeper. Amen? I do not share this to get you concerned or scared or worried, because when it gets darker, the light shines brighter. The glorious and best days for the church are now within our reach. And I believe strongly that the things that God has been talking about for years, pounding into our spirit as prophetic declarations, are not going to be prophetic anymore, but actually lived out. Hallelujah. That we are going to be living out the prophetic declarations. When our Lord Jesus Christ came, it was no longer a prophetic declaration about the coming of the Messiah. The Messiah, the Emmanuel, was walking amongst men. The greatest experience of the church is now being put together. While the enemy is doing his thing, God is not minding him, because God knows what he is doing. And whatever God, the devil doesn't know what he's going to do. The devil is just as limited. If he knew everything, he would have identified who Jesus was and went straight to the manger and gotten rid of him. But he doesn't know. But we serve a God who knows all things. Knows the past, the present, and the future. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. God knows everything. While the devil is planning, God already knows what the plan is. Kavoshai. A king found out that everything he planned was being exposed and wondered, who's telling them about our secret? So nobody else but the prophet and the foolishness. He says, okay, let's go get the prophet. How can you go get the person who is exposing whatever it is you're thinking about before you even think about it? But the devil is very positive. He's a very good, positive thinker. That's why you and I must not live in the world of positive thinking. Because positive thinking is not faith. It's a bridge that is going nowhere. I used to live in California many years ago, and there's this flyover bridge. And you see it start, and then it's hanging. It was uncompleted. if you start driving into that thing and think you're going somewhere, you will be in the air. And since you're not a plane, you will land. Well, that's the devil. He's always landing himself into a big mess because he's trying to compete with God. But God knows the beginning from the end. Amen? Well, let's go. Let's begin to step into what the Lord wants to say to us tonight. Firstly, let us have this settled. Come with me to Leviticus chapter 23. Leviticus chapter 23. He says, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, the 15th day of the 7th month shall be the feast of tabernacles for 7 days unto the Lord. The feast is unto the Lord. On the first day shall be an holy convocation. Amen? On the 7th day shall be an holy convocation. On the 7th day. He says, ye shall, verse 34, he says, on the first day shall be an holy convocation. Ye shall do no civil work therein. Now, the idea is not just about not working. The idea is the idea of rest. Are you with me? It's not just about working, it's about rest. If you're not working, you are resting. If you're not working, doing things, hard labor, you are resting. And basically, the Feast of Tabernacles is a call to this rest. Praise the Lord. You shall not do any civil. The word is the word aboda. And it means bondage. You shall not do any work that ties you to bondage. Any work that demonstrates being enslaved. You're no longer bondmen. You're no longer slaves. You are called as sons and daughters of covenant. So, this is not a call to bondage, but to freedom. Somebody shout hallelujah. The word of God continues. It says, 7 days ye shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. So the focus here now is you're not a slave, but you are going to bring an offering made by fire. Now, what is an offering made by fire? An offering made by fire is an offering that is totally consumed. Totally consumed. And the idea is that that whole offering goes to ashes. There's nothing left of it. It's consumed totally. But there is a caveat. And the caveat is, if there's anything left out of that particular offering by fire, it was supposed to be handed over to the priest. And the priest will eat it, will consume it, and that's the end of it. So it's a sacrifice that is total. Total. I've given it. I'm not thinking about it. It is done. Now, which person is able to give something away and not even consider or think about it? When you've given out something that's of importance, but somebody who has more than enough. Hallelujah. So the idea of sacrifices that are by fire is an idea of a mindset of somebody who has more than enough. So when we come in, God says, don't come empty-handed. Why? Because you know that you have, therefore you give. Amen? It's a setup because at this time, God manifests his glorious provision for his people. Hallelujah. It goes on, it says, 7 days he shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord, and then on the eighth day, which is your new beginning, shall be an holy convocation unto you. Well, how did we start? Speak unto the children of Israel, verse 34, saying, the 15th day of this seventh month shall be the Feast of Tabernacles for 7 days unto the who? The Lord. And then the eighth day, he says, on the eighth day shall be an holy convocation unto you. Unto God, the eighth day unto you. The idea is, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all of his righteousness, and then every other thing shall be added unto you. Amen? God is saying, I want you to connect here, and then I'm going to give you a new beginning. Praise the Lord. Are we together so far? He says, it shall be unto you, and ye shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. There again, he says, this one is your turn, but this time that it's your turn, I want you to bring an offering. And this offering is also offered by fire. In this sense that the word of God says, give and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men bring into your bosom. I am going to bring it to that place where people begin to bring into your bosom. Hallelujah. Favor will pursue after you and overtake you. He says, it is a solemn assembly, and ye shall do no several work therein. These, verse 37, these are the feasts of the Lord. They are not Jewish feasts. They are the feast of the Lord, which ye shall proclaim to be holy convocations, to offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. What is the purpose again? These are holy convocations for you to make an offering. A burnt offering and a meat offering, a sacrifice, drink offerings, everything upon his day. His day. This is beside the Sabbaths of the Lord, and beside your gifts, and beside all your vows, and beside all your freewill offerings, which you give unto the Lord. God is saying, this is, listen, I'm not talking about the regular stuff that you normally do. I'm asking you for something more than what you regularly do. Hello? Are you still here? I Pastor, did I make a mistake to come? No, you didn't. You're in the right place. God is saying, hey, so you don't think otherwise. This is not like what you normally do. I'm asking you for the over and above. Why? Because God wants to bless me over and above. Hallelujah. God, let's have this settled. God will never ask you to do something that he will not do himself. Amen? You are never going to outdo God. If God says, if somebody sins against you 70 times, 70 times in a day, and you should forgive them, guess what? He holds himself at least to that minimum. Hello? That does not mean that you be a pain in the behind, messing up constantly. Because if you love, you're not going to be doing that. But the Word of God says, even if you are faced with that kind of a situation, be ready to forgive, because I don't want you to have hate, strife, unforgiveness, off in your heart. Are we together? Okay. Praise the Lord. Now, he says, this is besides that. Also in the 15th day of the seventh month, when you have gathered in the fruit of the land, because this is also called the feast of harvest. In the fruit of the land, ye shall keep a feast unto the Lord 7 days. On the first day shall be a Sabbath, and on the eighth day shall be a Sabbath. The Sabbath, remember, the Sabbath is rest. So God is saying, hey, we're going to start with rest. We're going to end with rest. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Notice, let's go back for a moment. It says, in verse 34, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, the 15th day of this seventh month shall be the Feast of Tabernacles for 7 days unto the Lord. On the first day shall be an holy convocation. On the first day shall be what? On the first day. Ye shall do no several work therein. On the first day, which is the Sabbath, no bondage, slave labor. 7 days ye shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. Well, first day he says, no servile work. 8th day, the day of new beginnings, no servile work. So what happens from the 2nd to the 6th? The idea that God wants to communicate is that from that 2nd to the 6th day, that you work, but you work based on what you started with from the position of rest. Come on. That you have started your day, that first day, from the position of rest, I am not in bondage. And being somebody who is not in bondage, you step into the second day in the freedom of not being in bondage. If I go through that door, I will exit this room and step into another room. The way I exit is the way I enter. That makes sense? Hallelujah. This is not Superman that goes in and comes out with a cape. You step in from here to there, and you step in from freedom to freedom, not freedom to bondage. And God is saying, I want you to continue in that freedom, working blessed. Amen? You're going to work on the 2nd, the 3rd, the 4th, the 5th, the 6th. What's that? 5. What is the number 5? Grace. Ah. Is somebody learning something yet? So we are empowered to be able to accomplish by grace, because grace is that capacity, that ability that helps you accomplish what you cannot accomplish in your own strength. So when you step in that first day, recognizing that you are not one who is under bondage, but you have been freed by the power of the living God, you step into your second day with that same grace. Now you're working. He says, first day, no slavery, bondage work. 8th day, which is the new beginning, no bondage work. Hello? So, first, no bondage work. I step into the 2nd day, grace. 3rd day, grace. 4th day, grace. 5th day, grace. 6th day, grace. 7th day is a Sabbath. 8th day is a Sabbath. So, grace, 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 grace. The Bible tells us, the Word of God says, it says that the reason why people have not received their deliverance is because they did not say restore, restore, restore. It says about Zerubbabel. Zerubbabel shouted grace to the mountain. Grace, grace. And God is calling you as we step into these days of the tabernacle to begin to speak grace. Hallelujah. This is the second day. Guess what this day is all about? Grace. Hallelujah. When we come tomorrow, we shout grace. Hallelujah. Who art thou, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, thou shalt become a plain. Hallelujah. And he shall bring forth the headstone. Therefore, thereof with shoutings, crying, grace, grace unto it. Whatever issue, whatever problem, whatever circumstance is facing you this very moment, God and this time of the tabernacle is saying, shout grace to it. That emotional problem, shout grace at it. Hallelujah. The ability of God is operating in me and through me, and therefore you must bow. You must bow. You must bow. You must bow, because I am walking in the rest of God. Somebody shout hallelujah. Grace. Grace. And as you shout in grace, it says, bring in that special offering. Whatever it is. Every year, I ask the Lord, what are you asking me to do? What are you asking from me? It's a long, long time ago that I stopped tithing as just a tither. I don't give 10%. I don't think I even give 20% or 30%. Most years, by the end of the year, I've given 40, 50, 60%. Why? Because I've got to come to the place where I rest in the grace of God, in knowing that He is my source. Amen? God, you are my source. So what do you want from me? Sometimes when I ask, He scares me. He starts calling big numbers. I say, did I make a mistake to ask? Where do you want me to get this from? But I learned, if God is asking me for it, it's because He knows that it's coming to me. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. But the temptation then is, when it comes, there's all kinds of mouths that want to grab it. That's when I remember, well, if God didn't give it to me, I will not have it. So, Lord, here it is. I don't know how all of this is going to be taken care of, but here it is. And walk away from it and not think about it and fret about it. If I had just saved some of that, maybe I would have had enough to take care of this. No, it is burnt by fire. So it's no longer anything to do with me. So God, you mean God set up the Feast of Tabernacles and the whole idea, the main thrust of the idea is He wants offerings? Well, I didn't say it. Did we read it or not? So why will God do that? Because He wants to bless you and I beyond measure. Amen. He wants to birth ideas, because He wants to tabernacle with us. And the all-knowing, all-wise, all-powerful, everywhere present God, abiding in you and abiding in me, can use His influence to affect the universe so that everything responds to me according to the will of God. Praise the Lord. This is where, child of God, we have lacked. Today, the natural sons, so to speak, of Abraham, the nation Israel, battered down when they were sinners and did not cry out to God, crushed beyond measure, all of a sudden, poof, they rise again. And a small nation, as small as Israel, And some of them are still scattered all around the world. It's not all Israel that is there yet. Guess what? That nation stops in every area you can imagine. In science, in education, you name any area, they are at the top, competing with every major nation in the earth. Why? Because God is able to raise his people up. And the nation, they've not even all turned to God yet. Because God is a promise keeper. Hallelujah. He promised them that the fig tree was going to get itself in place again. And he did. And when at the day of atonement, Yom Kippur, when the Arab nations tried to destroy them because they will not do any work. Egypt, Jordan, and all of them were coming in there because they felt they will not fight. What did God do? God stopped them. And God stopped them, and this small little nation got up at Yom Kippur and took on all of them and beat them. The six-day war cleaned them all out. Cleaned them all out because God is still God. Hallelujah. It looked like it was the end. The experiment of the nation Israel, this has come to an end. They are going to be overtaken. This is it. But God says, no, not when I said that I'm going to make a nation. No. Chill. Complete Yom Kippur. Now, as soon as it's 1 second, go at it. He stopped the enemy. When the enemy comes at you, the word of God says he will raise up a standard like a flood. Amen. Praise the Lord. He's God. And this is, you know, you've been with me from the very beginning. Some 30-something years ago, I was saying that the face of the church is going to be very Jewish. True?
Yes.
This is not Johnny Just Come. What we're doing today has become something that the churches are now beginning to do. But it was a prophetic word. It looked like a foolish word at that time. Come on. The church is, we're going to be doing Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur and no, that's not God. But God said, this is how the church is going to be. Because you see, our Jewish brothers and us are going to become the one new man.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
We are going to become the one new man. The church. Look at our rabbis today that are preaching the gospel with great fire. That was not so 30-something years ago. But that is normal now. Hallelujah. When we're talking about these things years ago, there were no messianic. What would miss? If there were any messianic congregations, they were very rare. No longer. In Israel, right this very moment, once upon a time, they did not want you to talk anything about Jesus. Now, there's the Orthodox that will want to press it down, but the young people, they are all online, swallowing everything they can get about Yeshua. It is happening. And greater things are yet to be revealed. We are in a very strategic time in the economy of God. Praise the Lord. You know, I say to you, saints, don't just get ready. You know, like T.D. Jakes would say, get ready, get ready, get ready. No, don't just get ready. Be ready. Amen? Amen. This is beyond getting ready now. Be ready. Because the curtains are about to open up, and it's not going to be rehearsal time anymore. It's going to be show time. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You getting something yet? Verse 37 again. These are the feasts of the Lord, which he shall proclaim to be holy convocations to offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord, a burnt offering and a meat offering, a sacrifice. So you get it all. A drink offering. Everything upon his day. Huh? His day? What day is that? The day of the Lord is a culmination of many things. The day of the Lord is the day of judgment. But the day of the Lord is also the day of his wedding. Hallelujah. The day of the Lord is also the day of his tabernacling with men. The day of the Lord is the day of his return. The day of the Lord captures everything. All of the seven feasts. Every aspect of it. Every piece of the pie. In essence, God is saying, there comes the time when the whole pie is all together. Amen? And that is the day of the Lord. Oh, but the day of the Lord is the day that the Lord has made for you and I to do what? Rejoice and be glad. And where we can say, I beseech you now, send now prosperity. Oh, wow. Oh, wow. Oh, wow. I beseech you now, send now prosperity. This is that day. It's a day of the grace of God. Hallelujah. A day that we will also cry out, Father, send now prosperity. Why? Because I have brought everything. Now it's your turn. You served me the ball. I played it back. Now it's your turn. Praise the Lord. So that we get it, he begins to list and tell us again, verse 38, beside the Sabbaths of the Lord and beside your gifts. Oh Lord, I bring a gift. That's something that you just do by yourself. And you bring a gift and you bless somebody. He says, beside that, and beside all your vows, God, if you do this for me, I'm going to do this. Beside that, and beside all your free will offerings, oh, that stuff that you just brought and say, Lord, oh, I just love you. Here it is. He says, beside that, we should give unto the Lord. Also in the 15th day of the seventh month, when ye have gathered in the fruit of the land, ye shall keep a feast unto the Lord 7 days. On the first day shall be a Sabbath, and on the eighth day shall be a Sabbath. Somebody shout hallelujah. He says, and ye shall take you on, so you know for a fact. He says, ye shall take on you on the first day the boughs of goodly trees, branches of palm trees and the boughs of teak trees and willows of the brook, and ye shall rejoice before the Lord your God 7 days. It says, rejoice before the Lord your God for 7 days. Just keep on doing what? Rejoicing. Paul tells us in Philippians chapter 4. He says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. Amen? Hallelujah. He says, let your moderation, your lifestyle, how you carry yourself, be known unto all men. The Lord is where? At hand. The Lord is at hand. The Lord is here. He's beside you. And he's promised you that I will never leave you nor forsake you. Amen? And as challenging as the days to come might be, God is saying, hey, just stay rejoicing. You know, the church has been mesmerized by the teachings of the 7 years. But that Jesus, our Lord, is going to come before the millennium, or rather the tribulation. So those are pre-trib people. Then whether it's going to come at the half point, 3.5 years, mid-trib, or it's going to come at the end, post-trib. Well, this Feast of Tabernacles, the more you look at it, the more you see where God's mind is on the issue. And where God's mind is on the issue is this. Are you ready for this? I am coming. Amen? I am coming. Praise the Lord. He's not going to give the devil any opportunity to start doing his own countdown. Praise the Lord. The devil is not going to have that opportunity. You see, because Rosh Hashanah is the new year. Yeah? It's the new year. And it is the Feast of Trumpets. The blast of the trumpet. And at the last trump, when the Lord Jesus Christ comes, he's going to come with a blast of the trumpet. So he could come at Rosh Hashanah. But there's the atonement. That's when the price is paid. This, let me go back to Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah, it's 2 days. And the reason it's 2 days is because you have to look for the crescent of the moon. The Jewish calendar is based on the moon. Yeah? It's not solar, it's lunar. But they have to watch for that crescent. But what if it was a cloudy day and they couldn't see it? They allowed themselves a second day. So when Jesus, our Lord, said, nobody knows when he's going to come, and he was speaking to his audience, they understood right away. Not only that, the people who are watching for that crescent have to take the message. And by the time they leave one spot to carry the message out to the next, might take them a full day. So it was given 2 days. Are you with me so far? Okay. So we come to this second one, the atonement. The atonement is the most holy day of the year. This is that holy day that the people were dressed in white. This is the day where the past is ended and a new start, because the accomplishment of the atonement, all sin is wiped off and a new beginning. That's the midpoint. And here comes the Feast of Tabernacles that encompasses all 7 days. Is he going to come at this time? But what we do know is this. This is a time he comes to tabernacle with his people, which will mean the beginning of the millennium. Are you with me? And God says, during this time, anybody who does not show up, you dead meat. You'll be punished, because he's going to demonstrate in real terms for all what it is like to be part of the kingdom of God. And you and I will rule and reign with him during this time. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So these feasts, these fall feasts, are so important. And God calls us to rejoice. It's a time of celebration. But in the interim, the Word of God says, I want you to do certain things. Be careful for nothing. Don't worry yourself about anything. But in everything, by prayer and by supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request, what you're wanting, be made known unto God. Now, let's understand that our request is what we are asking God for. It is not what we are telling God. You understand that God knows the problem. You understand that you know what your needs might be, maybe. So what are you doing when you're placing a request unto God? Your request is, I need this situation resolved. Grant me the grace. Remember, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, those 5 days are days of grace. God, I need grace. I need grace. I need grace to solve this situation. I need grace to break through this situation. I need grace to connect this way or that way. And God will speak to you because he's tabernacling with you. When Mom and I had immigration issues, we talked to him. And he told us what to do. And sure can be, what he said was what happened. And we got the results that God said we should have. Now, why were we having immigration issues? God told me to come. Brought me here by the Spirit. So why should I have any problems? And that's the mistake we make. We decide that it is God's will because things are easy. No. Because it's God's will doesn't mean it is going to be easy. You know God's will not based on circumstances or lack of circumstances, but based on you knowing by the hearing of faith. Amen? Amen? Know what God said. God, what are you saying? I need to hear from you. And that happens when you are tabernacling with him and he with you. Praise God. We're going to get deeper. But I sense in my spirit there's some more foundational things that we need to put in place, and I've shared more things with you tonight than I have in the past 2 days or so. So, God, I am tabernacling with you. I am a son of Abraham, and you've made promises. You said to Abraham, look this way, look that way, look this way, look. All of it is yours. Lot thought he's gotten the choicest part. And God says, he thinks that he's got the best. Let him go. But whatever it is that he has, all of that and everything else is yours. Somebody listening? That is a word for somebody. That's a word for somebody right this very moment. God is saying to you, you don't have any trouble here. It's all yours. You've not lost anything. Amen? Praise the Lord. You know, the incredible thing about it all is that the best that Lot thought he had got consumed. Got burnt up. He couldn't even stay there. God is going to surprise you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I receive that. I receive that. Praise the Lord. Now, remember what we said yesterday. That the tabernacle had three walls. And the trees and the branches were there, surrounding. And what God was trying to teach them is this. That as long as they can see those stars, as long as they can see that soil, they must remind themselves, number one, we are sons of Abraham. And whatever God promised Abraham is manifested in my life. Amen? Whatever God has promised Abraham, God said in the book of Galatians, he said, I have blessed you with faithful Abraham. He didn't even say, I've blessed you with my blessing. The blessing of the Lord had been placed in the life of Abraham, possessor of heaven and earth. God put in a man a great blessing. When? When did he proclaim that? When Abraham, having defeated the forces of darkness, came and presented himself before the high priest called Melchizedek, who had no beginning or ending, and that high priest pronounced over Abraham that Abraham was a possessor. And God has made you and I possessors. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Abraham with his small army was able to defeat the forces of darkness. And the word of God says, so then they which be of faith. And that's what we are. We are people of faith. Are blessed with faithful Abraham. Are you a person of faith? How did you become a person of faith? You became a person of faith when you heard the word of God and received it into your spirit. Amen? And that faith that came in agreed with what God had already deposited inside of you when he breathed into you the breath of life, which was his word. Amen? So, spirit began to speak to spirit. Praise God. And faith, God's kind of faith, was established inside of you. But the manifestation of that agreement happened when, where the Bible says in Galatians chapter 2, it says, watch this, I am what? Crucified with Christ. I am crucified what? With. Meaning that even before you were born, and Jesus, our Lord, was crucified even before the foundation of the earth, even before the world was put together, God, who knows past, present, and future, took you all the way to the very beginning and before the beginning, and you were crucified with Christ. Somebody hearing? Then it says, nevertheless, I live, yet not I. It is Christ, the anointed one, who lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Praise God. That's how you became a person of faith. You became a person of faith because of his faith, because he is the Word. Praise the Lord. And in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. John chapter 1. Right? Now look, let's look at John chapter 1 and verse 2 and hear what it says there. The same was in the beginning with God. The Word was in the beginning with God. He says, all things were made by him, the Word. And without him, the Word, was not anything made that was made. Everything was made by the Word. Word. And God says, I put inside of you creative power. Hallelujah. Creative power. That man is able to do the amazing creative things he does is because of the creative power he's put in man. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. In the Word, in him was life, and the life was the what? The light of men. Oh Lord. The life was the light of men. The life was the light of men. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and life. In him was word. In him was spirit, and the spirit and the word was the light of men. My word is a light, it's a lamp. Are we together? But watch this. It says, this light, this word, shines in darkness, and darkness comprehended it not. What is this light? This light is his word, but this light is you. This light is him. And when you and I are word-filled, word-packed, we cannot be stopped. Praise the Lord. You speak the word, and the word punches itself through. He says it is the sword of the Spirit, the word of God, which is the sword of the Spirit. And this word searches, Hebrews says. It searches and it's able to divide. Because this word of God is powerful. And that powerful word is in you. And it's in me. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Please know that you are more than what you think. God is calling us to be the representation of his word. Hallelujah. Abraham manifested the awesomeness of God in his time. God is calling every one of us to be the manifestation of his presence. And we will be everything God says we are. Amen? Praise the Lord. You know, I've been talking to you for a while now, and I've not even touched anything that I thought the Lord wanted me to say. Because there is something to say to you that needs to be settled. Something he has to say to me that needs to be settled. And he's saying, I need to get you ready quicker and faster because things are changing at hyper speed. Man is becoming more wicked by the moment. And you cannot face this enemy as a pussycat. Not when the enemy is going around like a lion. If you are a pussycat, you are dead. Now we need the Lord to tabernacle in us. And when we roar, the fake wannabe will take off. Amen. I don't know if you heard that. God's roar has to come out of you, out of me, in this last of the last days. Not because we are jumping around just shouting, making noise. Because there's something about authority that doesn't have anything to do with shouting. It's the demeanor that you carry. is the walk that you walk, is the way that you look that causes the enemy to say, I don't think I should go there. This person is so quiet. Why is he so quiet? Well, the Word of God says, the Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the world keep silence before him. The authority of God operating through his people in this last day is not going to be in the loudness of the drum. When a big barrel is empty, it makes loud noises. When it is full, it just thumps. Pum, pum. You know, it's got something in there. But the danger is this. At the center of it all, it's you that I see. It's you that I see. It's like this. And I'm going to wrap in a moment. We've got a few days to go. If you see a pillow, you expect it to be soft. Yes? So you can punch it. Because you expect it to be what? Soft. But what if I put in the center of that pillow a nice big brick? When you punch it, nobody will tell you not to repeat it. That's exactly who God is making you. That the enemy punches thinking it's soft, and he finds out, oops, I made a mistake. May God, because he tabernacles in you, be your fortified strength on the inside. Glory be to God. Someone say, I am fortified with the fullness of the Godhead in Christ Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. You are not the one that the enemy is going to break. You are going to do the breaking. Praise God. You receive that? Amen. All right. Well, tomorrow morning, we're going to continue to explore what the Word of God has to say to us. And then we'll be back tomorrow evening for some more. And then on Monday, and then on Tuesday, and then on Wednesday. Amen? We're going to go step by step by step. And we are going to enjoy all that God has. But remember, these are the days of what? Thank you. You are listening. You are listening real good. You're listening. That's good. I love that. So what are you going to be speaking out of your mouth? Grace. 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 To every problem, to every situation, I shout grace. Amen. Amen? You know, in the book of Zechariah, if you go there and you read it, from chapter 3 to chapter 4, you'll find that the Bible talks about how the enemy came and was accusing Joshua. Because his garments were unclean. He says, take that garment off of him and put new clothes on him. And he was dressed differently. And a mitre was put on his head. And the Bible goes on and takes us through Zerubbabel. And that's what God is doing. Atonement, a change of clothes. Hallelujah. Thank you so very much. There it is in there. And he answered and spake unto those that stood before him, saying, take away the filthy garments from him. And unto him said, behold, I have caused thine iniquity to pass from thee, and I will clothe thee with a change of raiment. That's what God did. That's why God said, at the Feast of Atonement, come dressed in white. Remember I asked you to do that? Because I was here. I was talking to the Lord in my normal way, and he says, I want you dressed in white. I said, when? For this feast. I said, yeah. Just me? He said, no, invite the people. God was taking our filthy clothes off. Hallelujah. You heard me tell you the story about how God took me shopping, right?
Oh, yes. To a white suit.
And what suit did he take me to go?
A white suit.
And then when I went there to get that same sale, they told me they never sold anything like that in that store. And I went back and I looked at my closet. There was a white suit. I said, where did I get this from? The Lord said, didn't I say, let's go shopping? I said, yes, you did. And I went to that store. He said, no, you didn't go there. I said, so where did I go? He said, I took you into another dimension.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. You saw that white suit? You went. they've been around with me for the longest time.
They never had a suit like that. This story said.
Never. Amen?
Amen?
God is having you dressed in white. Amen. Now, when you know that you're dressed in white, don't go playing in the mud.
Yes. Exactly.
Amen? Pick up those pants. Hallelujah. It's a new day. And we celebrate the goodness of God together. Amen. Well, let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your blessings. Thank you, Lord, for this day. We pronounce and proclaim grace, 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 grace. Grace, grace, over and over again. While we are awake, our mouths are proclaiming grace. While we are asleep, even in our subconscious level, Lord, oh God, the word, the grace is going forth. You are fighting for us. You are establishing us. And every mountain is being removed and cast into the sea. Thank you, Lord, oh God, that poverty, sickness, and disease, and everything that is unlike you is being removed. Because, Lord, this tabernacle must be worthy of you. Father, we know in the natural, when the king or a person of high dignity is coming, place is cleaned up. There's fresh paint. Everything is in proper order. We ask that this temple be clean. Clean, but never empty. Fill us to the fullness. Let your word fight for us. We rely not on our ability, but we rest on your ability. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Don't miss tomorrow morning. God has a powerful word for us. As we go deeper on what he's getting at. Tonight, we heard about part of what his word says the Feast of Tabernacle is focused on. The first 7 days are completely his. And then he starts us out on the eighth day, the day of new beginnings. But he also says, rest. Isn't that amazing? The Lord didn't say, this is the year of this, and this is the year of fruitfulness, and this is the year of favor, and this is the year of whatever. He says, this year, just say, remember me. Remember me. You know what remember me means? That's a statement that is made by people that have honored God, just like Hezekiah. Remember? Remember? And when God looks, he's going to see a memorial. Somebody listening? He's going to see a memorial. And the memorial is connected to my giving and to your giving. So tonight, let us come and let us give unto the Lord that which is dear to us. And as his word was so clearly stated to us, he says, it's not your regular giving that I'm asking you for. It's not your regular tithe and offering and your vows and your regular, I want you to do over and above. This year, the Lord didn't ask me for too much. But that was a year. For every service, I believe, he asked me for $300. I don't know what we're doing. It was not based on my income. It was based on what he wanted to do. Another time, he asked me for $5,000 or $6,000. What? I'm the pastor, Lord, you remember? I'm going to get that guy. Well, it doesn't matter. He provided. 1 year, he said, I don't think it was too long ago. It was around 220 or 221. He said, today, I need from you, not just from me. He wanted the same thing from Mama. It was in the thousands. We had to rush back in here after I gave mine. We had to rush back here before it was 12 o'clock to give the offering. God was protecting. When God asks you for something, he knows what he's asking you for. Amen? Sometimes he doesn't ask you for something that you think is fair. You will start asking all kinds of stuff and speaking in tongues. That nobody can understand. But it is okay. God knows what he's doing. Just love him anyway and trust him. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Did I say anything today, this evening, that was not found in the Word of God? Of course not. So if he said it, believe it, continue with it, and see where he will take you. Amen? Rise with me. Heavenly Father, we are here just for you. We trust you with everything that is within us. We trust you. We thank you, Lord, O God, for another day of this feast, the Feast of Tabernacles. We have stepped into the second day, and we are shouting out with a loud voice, grace, 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 to every mountain known and unknown to us, grace. We speak in grace over our marriages, over our family, over our children. Grace over this, your church. Grace, O God, over souls far and near. We speak in the word, grace. Even now, over situations that are beyond our control. Grace, grace. And we receive the perfection of what grace has accomplished. Thank you, Lord. With thanksgiving, we give you praise. We receive every blessing. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. God bless you. Amen. Let me say hello quickly to those that are on Zoom. Those of you that...